Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:14, that's Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 26th. Well, a couple of interesting things in here today. And first among those, let's start off in Asia. The Chinese market was down 1.69% on the CSI 300. Some of the banks were leading on the way down there. It's really contributing to what is has been a kind of a volatile environment overall, very much a range-bound environment, but it's a range that has a just a gradual progression of high reaction lows. But the Hang Seng, which has been a bit overbought in the short term, does look like it is about to unwind that. Both indices have got at least some room to consolidate and still hold that incremental progression of higher reaction lows. The Hang Seng, having outperformed, perhaps has a little bit of additional room to pull back. The and basically what we saw elsewhere in Asia today was some currency weakness, and that took a toll on some of the stock markets as well. And in Australia, the market was pretty much unchanged. But what we have seen is that the Australian market has rallied on consecutive days. It has been a rather impressive rebound, and this is almost a sawtooth uptrend that we have here in the on the ASX 200, where you're getting these sharp declines and equally sharp advances. And that would suggest that it is best bought following reactions rather than paying up for new highs. But by and large, the resources sector remains on a recovery trajectory, and that particular sector is likely to represent an increasingly large weighting in the ASX 200 over the medium term. So that should act as a support. And when we look at Japan today, the Nikkei was down 1.25%, and it's back below the 17,000 level. It's currently trading at 16,544. This isn't particularly encouraging, and not least that the yen was stronger today by about 0.75 yen to the dollar. It's right down to 100 and a quarter here. There was speculation over the weekend. I think it was either the foreign minister or somebody at the foreign ministry was saying that they believed that the economy could tolerate a yen in the region of 90 to 95 in 2017, and the reality is if we really were to see those levels, then there is very little prospect of the Nikkei being able to sustain a move above 17,000. That would also fit with a continuation of the negative interest rate policy, and it also helps to highlight the fact that there is still not a great deal of understanding in government circles that the market requires one thing, and politicians don't seem to understand that what is required is a weaker currency and a wholehearted embrace of regulatory reform. If the objectives of the administration are indeed to be achieved. So I think there is a certain period of navel gazing going on in Japan right now, and they're not quite ready to admit that this negative interest rate policy was a bad idea. What was interesting today, though, in Japan was that the second section index was in positive territory, and we so often think of that as a lead indicator, and that really is worth watching. If that can break on the upside, then that could potentially be a straw in the wind to say that maybe the Japanese market is a bit firmer than it currently looks on the face of it. In Europe today, Deutsche Bank moved to new lows, and when you look at the banking sector overall, it's not a particularly happy picture in Europe. And the one of the weaker markets on the periphery is Portugal, and there are a number of the Portuguese banks really do look like they're in trouble. And we know what happened with Espírito Santo, that it was nationalized when it looked like it was going to go under. And there is every likelihood that the same thing could happen to a number of those other Portuguese banks. And when we look at Deutsche Bank, then, considering that there are really only two German lenders that are still listed, Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank and just about everything else has been nationalized. Well, that is the risk that Deutsche Bank, despite the fact that it is a major international bank, is nationalized by the German government. And perhaps the only thing that would deter them from nationalizing it is the prospect of this $14 billion fine that the US is seeking to prosecute against Deutsche Bank. They have absolutely no interest in paying that, but that is most definitely a source of uncertainty for the wider market. It's helping to drag the European banking sector lower. So the DAX was down 2% today. What it has actually achieved more than any other factor is that the vast majority of these European indices have now confirmed resistance in the region of their respective 200-day moving averages. The DAX is still trading above the 10,000, but it really does need to hold that level. And when you click through the constituents of the DAX, then there are clear leaders like Adidas, but it's so overextended on the upside that it really is susceptible to some mean reversion. There's probably no potential merger disliked more or given a less likely potential for success than Bayer and Monsanto. Both shares have been trending lower, and Bayer has been trending lower now for it's well over a year, and that's been a rather consistent decline overall. But what it does also help to really confirm is that the long and the short of it is that negative interest rates are deflationary, and until we see that negative interest rate policies are abandoned, that is going to weigh on the respective stock markets. And on Wall Street today, the S&P was down about 0.86%. The Dow was down a bit more, so was the Nasdaq. And I think that can be viewed against in two different ways. One is that we had some very positive days last week. We're getting some unwinding of a very short-term overbought condition. But I think something that is worth highlighting is that the velocity of volatility, or it's really the VVIX, which is the volatility of volatility, did not move to retest its low. It has held a higher reaction low, and it is now rallying. The VIX itself had unwound all of its gain and got right down to the low, and again, that is also bouncing in here. And it is worth highlighting that if volatility is picking up, then automated trading systems have to reduce the size of their positions. We could be in for some additional ranging in here, but the 200-day moving average really is an important touchstone here. If the S&P 500 can continue to hold above it, then that would be a very positive outcome. If it were to sustain and move below it, then we'd be moving into a more choppy environment overall because it would indicate that the breakout to new highs has failed. Then I think a lot of people would be looking at the psychological 2000 level. Certainly it's the region of the trend mean rather than the exact trend mean, I think a lot of people will be looking at. Now, when we look at the commodity markets, the gold price today was in very mildly negative territory. It was down like 45 cents. But both platinum and silver were down in a more dynamic fashion. Platinum was down 17, and silver was down 31. You also had a negative day on palladium. And because we had the continuous commodity index giving up some of its intra-week advance at the end of last week, it suggests that we're going to have some additional ranging here. And what we're definitely seeing is that individual commodities are trading on their respective merits. So both white sugar and coffee continue to remain relative strength leaders, and not least because there's a drought in Brazil. And when we look at government bonds, what we've seen for most of July and August was that yields were rallying, unwinding what were really quite steep overextensions in terms of price. And that was really an accelerated move that saw yields go to new all-time lows on the US Treasury and the 10-year Treasury. So Now that has been completely unwound, and then we're now seeing that bond prices are rallying once more because they're unwinding what was a short-term oversold condition in terms of their prices. If those moves to new all-time lows are indeed, if those are the lows for this trend, then bond prices will not unwind the entire rally, but will post a or you'll see yields posting a higher reaction low in here. Then I think a lot of people in the bond markets are getting very antsy about what exactly is going to happen in terms of fiscal policy. I think it is widely recognized that fiscal policy has been favored by both of the presidential candidates in the US. Mario Draghi has been very keen to promote fiscal policy, fiscal stimulus. So 2017, if indeed we do get some fiscal stimulus coming through in some of these major economies, that is not unlikely to be particularly bullish for the bond markets. So this is a potentially pivotal point to really watch these bond prices and to observe just how far they can rally. Clear downward dynamics would probably cap these advances in at least the short term, and it could potentially offer a medium-term peak in price or a medium-term low in yields. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.